Our second scripture lesson comes from the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel. If you want to follow in your pew Bible, it's on page 997. I read a little portion of this from the children's Bible. But pay close attention to the movement of Jesus' thought here. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of my little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." Now the apostles said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper and get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink'? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you are told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" And God adds his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Through the history of the church, we've made a lot over this idea of the mustard seed. Oh, if I had the faith of a mustard seed, I could do this or I could do that. But to do that is to lose the essence of what Jesus is teaching here. The faith, what is faith for? The faith is to help us to overcome our resistance to forgiveness. Jesus warned his disciples about stumbling blocks. Specifically, he warned them not to become stumbling blocks to another believer. Then he laid out what he means by stumbling block. "Be on your guard," he said, "if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." Now, how do we react to this teaching? If I repeatedly sin against you, as I demonstrated with the children, 7 times each day, and I repent each time, can you forgive? And if this behavior continues day after day, can you forgive? I think most of us would find it impossible to tolerate behavior even after 1 or 2 forgivenesses, let alone 7 or 70. They cry out to Jesus, having heard this lesson, "Increase our faith," because the disciples are just like you and me. Yes, I could forgive 1 or 2 times, but when it gets to be beyond that, it becomes almost impossible for us, doesn't it? But then Jesus gave them the key to doing what is impossible. He said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to the mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Do they have the faith the size of a mustard seed? We have to ask ourselves, do each of us have faith the size of a mustard seed when it comes to forgiveness? Can you forgive? The impossible, in this case, is forgiving our neighbor, our friends, our family members. But Jesus is not done with that. He said, if you find the faith to forgive someone for repeated offenses, you might pat yourself on the back and think, I've done something really good. I've accomplished something monumental. And you return to your easy chair and you say, I did the impossible. Now I can sit back and boast about the extraordinary forgiveness that I accomplished through faith. But Jesus said, no. If you find faith enough to forgive repeated offenses, you've only done the minimum that Christ requires. He gave the example of the slave who comes in from having worked the fields. Does the master say, come, sit down and eat? No, the master says, wash up, prepare something for me to eat. Change your dirty field clothes, serve me, and after I've eaten, then you will eat. The slave is not thanked because he performed his task as commanded. And Jesus ends with a statement, so you too, when you do all these things which are commanded of you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Forgiveness is the least that we can do in this world. We're talking in Sunday school class this morning of how our Christian faith elevates us. It puts us above what usually would be human behavior. If someone hurts you, your instant reflex is to what? Lash out. Hurt them back. But in Christ, we're called to a different reaction, aren't we? We are to forgive. And not just once, but repeatedly, and as a nature of our lives. We are to do that which is impossible. I always thought I was pretty good at this. I forgiven some pretty hefty things in my life. But unfortunately, just like the example that Jesus gave, I just did the minimum compared to some people in the world. I want to give you an example. Back in October 2nd of 2006, wow, to the day, 2006, simple rural community experienced unimaginable terror. Charles Carl Roberts IV walked into a one-room Amish schoolhouse on a clear, unseasonably warm Monday morning. A 32-year-old husband and father of three young children of his own ordered the boys and the adults to leave. He tied up 10 little girls between the ages of 6 and 13 and he shot them each, killing 5 and injuring others before killing himself. His mother, Terry Roberts, her grief was beyond measure. She and her husband thought they'd have to move away. He knew what people thought about parents of mass murderers. He believed they would be ostracized in their community. They'd be blamed for not knowing the evil that their child was capable of. But in the hours after the massacre, as Amish parents still waited in a nearby barn for word about whether their daughters had survived, an Amish man named Henry arrived at the Roberts home with a message. The family did not see the couple as an enemy. Rather, they saw them as parents who were grieving the loss of their child, too. Henry put his hand on the shoulder of Terry Roberts' husband and called him friend. The world watched in amazement as on the day of their son's funeral, nearly 30 Amish men and women came. Some, the parents of the victims, they came to the cemetery, formed a wall to block out the media cameras, and allowed those parents to say goodbye in peace. These parents, whose daughters had died at the hand of their son, approached the couple after the burial and offered condolences for their loss. Then just four weeks after the shooting, the couple was invited to meet with all the families in a local fire hall. And one mother held Terry Roberts' gaze as both women's eyes were blurred with tears. She said, "They were all grieving. They were all struggling to make sense of that which is senseless." The Amish giving us an example of forgiveness, an incredible example of forgiveness, and how that mustard seed really can come into play, because how hard would it be? How hard would it be? But the Amish didn't quit there. They didn't more than forgive the couple. They embraced them and made them part of their community. When Terry Roberts underwent treatment for stage 4 breast cancer, one of the girls who survived the massacre came and helped clean her home before she returned from the hospital. Around Christmas of that year, a large yellow school bus arrived in front of their home, and Amish children piled up outside to sing Christmas carols. "The forgiveness is there, there's no doubt. They forgive," said Mrs. Roberts, and the whole world marveled at what just a mustard seed bit of faith can do. To God be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Great God, heaven forbid that we ever have to forgive as that Amish community did. But if we do, if ever we are called upon, help us to show forth at least a mustard seed amount of faith to forgive, to help mend and heal and restore that which was broken. Through your grace and mercy in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.